chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want to look at a fivefold healing for a new year. A fivefold healing for a new year. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4 will be in verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. Fivefold healing for a new year. I love the old claymation cartoons at Christmas time. I'm a Rudolph fan. I just am. Frosty's not claymation, but I like Frosty. But one of my favorite things about Frosty is that every time Frosty comes back to life, he says, "Happy birthday." And so every time that snowman has enough cold to bring him back to be full snowman and not a puddle, he yells out, "Happy birthday," every single time. And I think about the Bible and I think about the new year, and we say Happy New Year at this time of year, and that's not wrong, but I would say to you that in the Bible context, we should be every day saying Happy Birthday. Because every day, not our physical birthday, but the Bible says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And we know that it's because His compassions fail not, and great is Thy faithfulness, right? This is an everyday process for the saved person, that every day when you are born again, you have a new opportunity. You have a new opportunity to live for the Lord, to glorify Jesus, to witness about His goodness. And I think that as we celebrate the new year, I would encourage you in 2026 to not just celebrate, hey, I made it another year, I made it to my birthday, but celebrate every single day that the Lord has given, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. And so we look here in Luke 4 in verse 16, the fivefold healing for a new year. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." Lord, we pray that you would bless this word, the reading of it, the hearing of it, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nazareth was a city. It's not this small cow town that we sometimes imagine it to be. We believe that roughly 20,000 people lived in that area. Nazareth was a very familiar Old Testament spot. If I had a Bible reader, you would know that Nazareth, or in and around that area, is where Deborah and Barak had a great victory in the Judges. It's where Gideon had his battle and won over the Midianites. It's where King Saul was killed. It is where Josiah was tragically killed in battle. It's near Naboth's vineyard. It's where Elijah and Elisha ministered to. And where Mount Carmel was nearby. It was a very familiar spot. And this spot is where Jesus was raised up, and so that he shall be called a Nazarene. And so Jesus is in his hometown, and he goes to the synagogue. And the Bible says there in that verse, that in 16, that this was his custom. Can I remind you of this? The one person who didn't need to be in church was always in church. And so if you say, "I don't need to be in church in the new year," and if you know people who aren't generally in church last year, remind them, take them to the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 and say, "If Jesus needed to be in church, you need to be in church." Somebody said amen. Now, I just want you to know that I'm all hocked up on caffeine and Code Red Diet Dew, and I'm being really calm right now, but we're about to get a little rowdy for the new year. Can anybody say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has done marvelous things. Word up. And whatever you want to say that makes you feel spiritual, let's get ready to rock a little bit today. Somebody stay with me. I wish I had a Bible reader. They would get excited because they would know where I'm headed today. But listen, Jesus was in church, and he knew that that was the place he was. And so he reads from Isaiah 61. And we get that quotation here in Luke, but Isaiah 61, I'll just read it so you understand that it's the same thing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, in the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Everyone sitting in the synagogue that day knew that that was a messianic prophecy. They knew that that's what the Messiah would come to do. It was as common to them as all the things peace Messiah would bring. It spoke of what kind of person Messiah would be. It spoke of all the things Messiah would do in healing the nation. And today I want you to see that there's a fivefold healing for us that we can get rid of 2025 and look to the new year, because it's a new day, it's a new year. It's a new opportunity for us to be healed in whatever condition, whatever situation, whatever's hurting us, whatever's ailing us, whatever may not have went the way you wanted it to be. Messiah came for all those things, not in just prosperity, but in spiritual abundance. And today we see, number one, there's healing for the poor. Oh, we're not talking about your pockets. If you're pocket watching, wondering if Jesus is going to make you rich in 2026, there's no biblical promise for that. But what I can tell you is that blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What I can tell you is that there's healing for those who need to be healed, because they know they need to be healed. Knowing how poor and wretched and wicked we are opens the opportunity to be healed by the one who can heal us. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Listen, the Bible says there in verse 18 that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the poor in spirit. Before you can accept the last four blessings, you must first accept that you need to be given a blessing. Somebody said amen. And when you understand that you need to be given a blessing, then Jesus can work, because he resisteth the proud, but he gives more grace unto the humble. Listen to me today. Healing for the poor. He came for that reason. He didn't come to try to heal those who think they got everything going on, think they're all that in a bag of Mike Sells, a bag of Grippos, a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, a bag of Takis. Somebody said amen. A bag of Dots Pretzels. Oh, they got cinnamon and sugar Dots Pretzels now. Got my blood sugar acting all crazy. But what I know is there's not healing for those who don't want to hear the healing, but there's healing for those who understand they need a healing. He came to heal the poor, the broken, those who understood that they're blind and wretched and that they need somebody to heal them. And they figured out that they didn't just need somebody to heal them, they needed the somebody to heal them. But then he says there's healing here for the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted literally means those who are broken in pieces. You ever felt like you were broken in pieces? Those who are comfortless because they've suffered loss, because they're in grief. Those who have suffered loss of relationship, loss of job, separation of employment, whatever it may be. Jesus came. He says, you've been hurting and you're, something's not right. Jesus came to heal you. There's joy in Jesus. He says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus knew that tragically everything in our lives wouldn't always go perfectly, but he came into life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, that our joy would be his joy fulfilled in us, because he is all joy, because Jesus can be nothing but good, because he is God. In him is no variableness. He can't lie, he can't steal, he can't cheat, he can't destroy. He only comes to bring life. And so when we understand this, he brings healing for the brokenhearted. Even when my heart is broken, even when I'm sad, even when I'm messed up, I can still sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Even when I don't feel good, even when people are in the hospital beds, even when people are in their grave, I can still sing Amazing Grace, because my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, oh, he has ransomed me. And listen to me, all the days of my life, no matter what's going on, every single day, his mercies are good. His compassions, they fail not. And great is thy faithfulness. It's every day. It's like Frosty. Every day I feel new. I say, happy birthday, because it's another day that God's given me to serve him. It's another day that God's given me to live. It's another day that God's given me breath to tell how good he is, how righteous he is, how holy he is. And I will not go to my grave without telling the whole world how good good Jesus is, even if I'm brokenhearted, even if I'm hurting, because my God, he reigns on high, but he looks low. And that's the kind of God that we serve today. But he says, there's healing for the captives. I think this is interesting. The word captives is used 43 times in the Bible. And this is the last time it's ever used. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, preach deliverance to the captives. It literally means the prisoners of war. Satan has been taking spiritual prisoners of war since Adam and Eve. So when people are taken captive, the Son of Man, the Son of God, literally came to free us, to heal us from our captivity, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. See, these are addictions. These are things that when you get saved, you've been freed from it. But sometimes we like to dabble in things we ought not dabble in. Somebody said amen. Somebody not be too spiritual today to recognize your spiritual condition, that even after you get saved, sometimes you like to act like a slave. Come on now. You say, well, Pastor, that's not possible, because when the Son sets me free, I'm free indeed. But Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Sometimes we like to put our nose in things that, as Christians, our nose don't belong in. The most tragic part of Christian life is living like a slave when we're a son. Think about this. You got all the blessings of the kingdom, but you still want the blessings of the world. How foolish is that? You got all the riches of Christ in Christ Jesus, the book of Colossians says, but you still looking to the world to validate you. You still looking for man. Listen, Jesus didn't come to seek the validation of man. You want to know something that's great about being a pastor? I don't seek the validation of any man. I don't seek the validation of my congregation. I don't seek the validation of assistant pastors. I don't seek the validation of deacons. I don't seek the validation of other people, because the Lord validates us. And it's the same for you. You don't need the validation of anyone else. You only need to know that you're doing right in the Lord. And so don't you go out there, young ladies, you listen to me. Don't you look for the validation of some young knucklehead that don't care nothing about you. Don't you seek the validation of your education. Don't you seek the validation of your friends. Don't you seek the validation of anything out there, because God will validate you for living a godly and righteous life. Young men, you hear me. You don't have to go out there and seek the validation of a sports team. You don't have to seek the validation of being a manly man. All you need to do is be righteous and holy before a holy God, and God will validate you all the days of your life. We do not have to live our lives in bondage, because we are free from that captivity of prisoners of war and spiritual things, and now we are free to live in Christ. Because we're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so why would we mess around down with the pigs when we're soaring with the wings of eagles? All I'm saying to you is, if you had a choice, would you rather be a pig or would you rather be an eagle? Oh, I know what I would rather be. Now, some of you probably like Zuckerman's famous pig. Some of you probably feel like Wilbur every once in a while. Some of you probably feel like Babe every once in a while. But if it were me, see, our national bird is not some weird pigeon. It's not some weird turtle dove. It's a bald eagle, because it's majestic. And it scoops down, and it flies high, and it has a nest as big as this sanctuary, and it's great and grandiose. And Jesus, he tells us in his word back in Isaiah, he says, you will mount up with wings as eagles. He didn't say mount up with wings as pigeons or slop around with pigs. He said wings as eagles. And so that's a majestic, a regal, a kingly. Remember, isn't God good? Amen. That we are free from the burden of sin, because of the power in the blood. And now we don't have to walk as those beggars. We don't have to walk as those people, as prisoners of war. We don't have to be rationed bread and water, but we can live. Jesus says, I don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Sometimes when all I had was oodles and noodles to eat, Jesus was still ruling and reigning in my heart, and I still felt good. Even when I only had saltines to eat, I still felt good, because Jesus was there. And all the things of this life, all the cares of this world mean nothing if you don't have King Jesus. But if you got King Jesus, all the cares and all the things of this world mean nothing to you. But then there's healing for the spiritually blind. See, Jesus came. He says he came here for the recovering of the sight to the blind. Now, we know that physically blind Bartimaeus and others, Jesus restored their sight. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is telling them that he's going to come into those who have been blind to who Messiah was through the law, through the tenets of what was going on up until that time, who couldn't see it. He was coming to give them full sight, to restore Israel, to restore the world, ultimately to understanding who the one true God was, the Shema, the Lord our God is one. He was recovering that sight. He was bringing that back to him, and it was going to be better than LASIK spiritually. Listen, he says, he's going to open the eyes. We sing the song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I might see you high and lifted up." Because we want to see that you're truly God. In John 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." See, that was the Pharisee attitude. They didn't want to see it, so they blocked it off. And sometimes we block it off in our heart. But Jesus says this. He says, if it's God's will, then God will. Because he says, if you just had the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will come in, I will sup with him. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so if you understand that it's God's will, then God will. And if you'll go to him, then he can heal you from your spiritual blindness. He can heal you from trying to do it your way. He can heal you from trying to do it in your pride. He can heal you from trying to do it in your indiscretion. And he can just do it because it's God's will. And if God will, God will. And then I think this is interesting as well. He says to set them at liberty that are bruised. The word bruised literally means crushed, oppressed, or broken into pieces. And he's going to heal. If you study out the Greek, it means those who have been victimized. One of the things that I hate the most and detest the most in the world is when somebody is made a victim. I don't like to be victimized. I don't need anything. And if anybody stole anything from me, I could most likely replace it. I could most likely replace the most valuable things monetarily in my life. If somebody stole my truck, my insurance would have a way to do that. If somebody stole my house, I don't know how they would do it, but they could take it off its foundation and take it. When I lived in the trailer, they could have. Amen. They could have just hooked it to their hitch and took it on away. They could take rings or guns or whatever things of this earth that hold monetary value. And it would be not that they took that specific thing that hurt me. It would be that I feel victimized. That I feel like somebody took advantage. And this is why I have such an affinity for children and why I protect the children. I don't say these things to try to sound tough. I don't say these things because I say it because it makes me sound like I'm endearing myself to you. I say these things because it's true. But the reason why I care so much about children and teenagers and why I protect them and why I say they ain't got to be my daughters, they ain't got to be my kids. But listen, don't think here that. The teenagers bring their boyfriend here. I got to meet them and kind of get around them here. And the reason why is this, because I don't like when children are taken advantage of and victimized. And I'm not saying I'm violent or I'm going to do anything crazy. But what I am saying is I'm going to do my very best to protect not just children, but all people. I don't like it when women are victimized, when women are taken advantage of by some man. And I know it happens in reverse, but more likely in our culture, it's usually the man against the woman. I don't like those things, and I'll be cautious with my words with the children present. But I don't like when people do things with folly and take advantage of somebody in that type of way, as you adults know what I'm trying to say here. And that drives me nuts. And there's not a place low enough in the jail for those people in my mind. I don't like it when drug dealers take advantage of people who are poor and desolate and destitute and are just looking for a fix because they know how struggling they are, and so they're going to those certain areas. I don't like it when people build a liquor store right in the middle of the ghetto because they know that that's where they're going to go, and a check cashing place to keep the people perpetually broke and to keep them in geopolitical warfare. Listen, I don't like when people are victimized. I am an avenger of social justice. The way I choose to do it is through the gospel and not through marches, but I do not like it when people are taken, whether I like them or I don't like them. I do not like when people are victimized and oppressed and bruised. But the word bruised is only used 9 times in the entire Bible. And this is the last time here, because when Jesus comes, we're going to see it in a moment. I'm going to close and you'll understand a little bit more. But when Jesus came, Jesus completely took away the brokenhearted. He completely took away the bruise. He completely takes away all those burdens if you'll let him. So Jesus, you know how I know there's healing for the bruise? Because the same prophet that Jesus is reading from earlier in that prophet's book, he says he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. For our sin, Jesus was literally broken in pieces, if you will. For our sin, Jesus was literally crushed. For our sin, Jesus, watch this, was victimized for what we have done. So when Jesus comes, he says, I'm going to end all that. I'm going to end all that. There's healing. Look at verse 19 with me. He says he came to do all those fivefold healings, but he also came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean, Pastor? What does that have to do with anything today? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. The acceptable year of the Lord is not an actual physical year, so to speak. It is the day of the Lord's favor. We would call that grace. And so we live in this dispensation of grace. And so when Jesus preached this and said, today this is fulfilled, what he was saying is now, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. What he is saying here is this is the day of salvation. And I believe this, and if you study it out, you'll understand. But what I believe Jesus was fulfilling is what we see in the book of Leviticus in the year of Jubilee. These 7 cycles of 7, in the 49th year, people would get really excited. And can I say to you, we're not Jewish, and this is not necessarily the year of Jubilee, but can I say to you that just like the year of Jubilee, just pretend that today, December 31st, 2025, is the 49th year, and at midnight tonight, it becomes the 50th year, because in the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, the land was supposed to have rest from work. We're not going to farm, we're going to rest on what we got, but in the year of Jubilee, there was a lot of amazing things that happened. The release of all the slaves who had been enslaved, or the forgiveness of all debts. The people who had land that was theirs originally, ancestrally, were given their land back. All things went back and they were given a forgiveness. They were given a healing. They were allowed to return to their homelands. They were allowed, if you were a slave, to return to mother or father. So if you're 30 years old and the year of Jubilee is coming, and the next year you're going to be 31, at 30 years old, you were released from your slavery. You were released from your debt, you were released from anything, and you were able to go back to the land from where you came, the land of your nativity. And listen to me, today I want you to understand and bind this, that today Jesus says, I have fulfilled the acceptable year of the Lord, and you today can be free from all of those things. Listen, Jesus came to heal the poor. You can be healed today if you're poor of spirit, if you need to be saved. You can be healed from all those infirmities. You can be healed from all those problems. You can be healed for all those who have forsaken you. You can be healed from all earthly and worldly issues. You can be healed from anything that anybody says about you today. You can be healed because today is the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be healed today if you have a broken heart. You can be healed today if you're grieving. You can be healed today if it was hard at the holidays. You can be healed today if you got physical ailments. You can be healed today because Jesus says it's the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be healed from being captive for sinful thoughts and the bondage of sin and addictions and worldly lust and worldly pleasures. You can be healed today from all those things because Jesus says today is the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be healed from being spiritually blind. You don't have to keep on living the way you used to live because old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. You can be healed from all the things that your mind wants to tell you are right. You can be healed from all the things your emotions want to tell you are right. You can be healed from all the things your friends try to tell you are right. You can be healed from all the things the government try to tell you are right because today is the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be healed today from the bruising, from being broken in pieces, from the bondage, from the traumatization, from from the victimization. You can be healed today from all the drama that came from your mama and all the things in your past and from your childhood that didn't go the way you wanted it to go. You can be healed from your divorce. You can be healed from lost relationship. You can be healed from the job that didn't work out. You can be healed from the barren womb. You can be healed from the friends that were broken away from you. You can be healed from the things of your mind, the anxieties, the depressions, the stresses. You can be healed from all the things in the world that have got you down, because today is the acceptable year of the Lord. And I remind you once again that today is a new day, and that all those things, because His mercy is so great for us, and because His compassions, they fail not, that we can cry out today in this year, because He came, great is thy faithfulness. Amen. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Can I tell you this and be finished? Verse 20 is the greatest verse of the entire chapter. Look at verse 20 with me. Jesus, when He spoke those things, He closed the book. He closed the book. Now, I know you're Baptist and you're a preacher. It don't make too much sense to you, because I close my book and keep on preaching. But when it says He closed the book, it was a scroll. And so that the people knew He was really done, it says, and He handed it to the minister, the person that was orchestrating and administrating. So wouldn't that be good if I got finished with preaching and I took my Bible and my notes and I handed it to one of the deacons, and they say, okay, Pastor, that's really got to be it. You done handed the book over, amen. When Jesus handed the scroll over, He was really finished. But it's more deep than that. It's more detailed than that. When Jesus closed the book, before He ever said it on the cross, Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is finished. Here is the acceptable of the year of the Lord, the one who has came to heal you from all of these things, from these fivefold healings, the one who has came to preach the acceptable of the year of the Lord. He's here and He stands before you. And if you'll accept this, if you'll take this upon you, then Jesus says, watch this. This is why this makes sense. Jesus says, if you take this, the year of Jubilee, remember I said the land was supposed to have rest. You didn't have to work. You could lay back and just live off the abundance of what was left there. Everybody gets to go back. And that's why Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because He is the one who closed the book and said, it is finished for all of us, for all time. And if you've accepted that promise today, when you go into 2026, don't you worry about anything or nobody. All you need to worry about is that Jesus Christ has came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He got you and He holds you. And it's the acceptable year of the Lord. And you're free, and you're free indeed. You never got to go back to bondage. Stand in the liberty wherewith He has said that you are now sons and no longer slaves. And when you do that, you won't have anything or any reason not to say, great is thy faithfulness. You won't have any way or anything inside of you that won't say, praise ye the Lord. You won't have anything. All you'll have is breath to say, hallelujah and amen. All you'll have is breath to say, God is good, even when things are going bad. All you'll have is breath to say, God is great, even when everything is going to pot. All you'll have is breath in your lungs that God breathes into your nostrils to praise the Lord. And listen, you'll have the praise on your lips, but it will also be in your heart, because you can only worship God in spirit and truth, for such are the true worshipers, and God seeks such. And so when you're fully in spirit and truth, you will understand this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book. It is finished for all time, forever. Author and finisher, Alpha, Omega, the greatest, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the Balm of Gilead. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the God on high. He is the Melchizedek of the Old Testament. He is the Joseph who, even though all things were going bad, God saw it and meant it for good. Listen to me. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Somebody give God praise as we go into the new year. My God and my Savior. Oh, wretched man that I am. Yet God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's my